Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Leviticus, and this is chapter 5. But let's all go up to the throne of the Lord, our Father. He's our Father, and we're the sons of God, otherwise we're not saved. To be the Son of God, we must be as Jesus. And when we're talking by the Spirit, from our Spirit, and His Spirit mingled in ours to the Father, then He's hearing. And when He hears the sincere prayer from the heart, from our spirits, with His Spirit mingled in us. And Lord, we ask that You pull down every stronghold of darkness, destroy every stronghold of darkness and evil, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that You take every thought and bring it into captivity and put it under subjection to You, Father God, the Spirit, and that everyone should concentrate on that which is being taught in this lesson in chapter 5 of Leviticus. Lord, that we may have the power to stand in another day, not only stand, but by standing, Lord, we are victorious and we're more than conquerors. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go.
Leviticus chapter 5, Sins Requiring a Sin Offering, King James Version, verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity.
Okay, let's do the interpretation.
Translation verse 1. Sins requiring a sin offering. If any of the people are called to justify about something they have witnessed, but they refuse to testify, they will be held responsible and be subject to punishment.
And when the Lord is speaking of punishment, He means death. Because when you see something, if you see Satan in the midst of the congregation, or you see somebody acting as not under the Spirit of the Lord, but under the spirit of the devil, and you won't report it, the punishment for that, it's a horrible sin, and the punishment for that is death. We're talking Old Testament here in the law, and it is disobedience, and disobedience is the same as witchcraft, and the Lord will not suffer a witch to live. They are cut off from the congregation. All right, then go ahead here in the book of Leviticus.
King James Version, verse 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle,
which is symbolic, is we're not to have anything to do, or to touch, or be part of anything that is dead. And the Bible states that we're all dead in our sins and lost. We're not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not to touch it. We can witness to it. We're to let the Spirit of the Lord in the New Testament to touch these dead people, that they may receive the word of the Lord and be raised from death unto life. That we may do, but we're not to fellowship or to have fellowship with any and take part in any of the deeds of those that are among the dead, dead in their sins, those that riot. All right, then what?
Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty.
Well, the Bible says that some people are like beasts, and God even turned a king in the Old Testament later into a beast like an ox that fed in the fields. Amen?
Amen.
He says, and in the New Testament it says that some people are like natural brute beasts. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil, or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Translation, verse 2 through 4. Or if they touch something that is ceremonially unclean, such as the dead body of an animal that is ceremonially unclean, whether a wild animal or the most domesticated animal, or an animal that scurries along the ground, they will be considered ceremonially unclean and guilty.
There's no way that a person would be able to speak to the Lord. You cannot fellowship, have Holy Communion. That's the ceremony of communing with the Lord and Him communing back with you. That's all symbolic of that. Then what?
They will be considered ceremonially unclean and guilty, even if they are unaware of their defilement. Or if they come in...
That's when you do something and the Lord won't speak to you. And it seems like you're hitting brass when you try to pray to the Lord. That's why the Lord tells us to examine ourselves if we're not reaching Him, so that we can, so that He can reveal, or we examine ourselves and we can see for ourselves what's wrong. People have to examine themselves to see. They have to get checkups to see if there's something wrong in their body, so that the body is not acting correctly. They examine themselves, or they go to a physician to see if there's anything wrong with their bodies. But we have to examine ourselves, and we have to go through the Word of God to find out if any of the things that are in the Word of God that we're not doing, so that we can correct these things to see if that which we have done was a sin of ignorance, if we knew of it. Why is the Lord not talking to me? And I try to talk to Him, but I'm hitting brass. I can't get through. There's a middle wall of partition between God and myself. And then find out what it is and see if you can be forgiven. Because some sins are forgivable and some are not. Such as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not forgiven. And in the later on in the book of Leviticus, it tells us that if anyone blasphemes the name of the Lord, they're to be taken outside the camp and stoned to death. Just to blaspheme God. And that you can look up in the, I believe it's the 23rd or 24th chapter of the book of Leviticus. You're to be stoned to death if you blaspheme the Lord. The name of the Lord, even. All right, so let's continue on.
Or if they come into contact with any source of human defilement, even if they don't realize they have been defiled, they will be considered guilty as soon as they become aware of it. Or if they make...
How can you be aware of it if you don't examine yourself and ask the Lord and look through the Word, search the Scriptures to see what's wrong with you? Because God is no respecter of persons. He talks to everyone that's clean and is desirous of communing with Him. He will commune back. There's something wrong with you if you don't have that relationship with the Lord. And it's best that you find out. No. It's best that you search it out, that you be concerned enough to search it out, so that one of these days when you leave your body, your spirit leaves your body, that you're not going to find yourself before the Lord defiled. We need to examine ourselves in this world. We're just passing through. We don't have a long time to get ourselves right with the Lord, but that's what we're here for, is to get ourselves and as many people as we can right with the Lord in fellowship, communion with God. Okay, go ahead.
Or if they make a rash vow of any kind, whether its purpose is for good or bad, they will be considered guilty, even if they were not fully aware of what they were doing at the time. King James Version, verse 5. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, unto the Lord, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. Translation, verse 5 through 9. When any of the people become aware of their guilt in any of these ways, they must confess their sin, and bring to the Lord as their penalty a female from the flock, either a sheep or a goat. This will be a sin offering to remove their sin, and the priest will make atonement for them.
No, but in the New Testament, we get saved once and for all, and if we sin, well, the Lord's not going to come back and die again, and we're not allowed to offer up animals anymore. That won't take away your sin. So we've got to stay in the Spirit in order to have the power to not sin. All right? There are sins that are unto death, and then there are sins that are not unto death. So you have to be aware of the Word, which tells you if you've sinned not knowing it, or if you've sinned deliberately knowing it. All right, so let's keep going.
If any of them cannot afford to bring a sheep, they must bring to the Lord two young turtle doves or two young pigeons as the penalty for their sins. One of the birds will be a sin offering, and the other will be a burnt offering. They must bring them to the priest, who will offer one of the birds as the sin offering. The priest will wring its neck, but without severing its head from the body.
So this is like unto when if we sinned a sin that we weren't aware of, and we find out that we did, then we take it to the priest. Nowadays, the priest, the high priest, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask him to take it before the Lord with you and the Lord God, and he will forgive it if it's a sin that's not unto death, and if it's one that you did not being conscious of it, or you did it you weren't aware. All right, then what?
Then he will sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering against the sides of the altar, and the rest will be drained out at the base of the altar.
And so this is symbolic of the heart. And the Lord, the blood of the Lord will be applied to your heart or the altar, and you will be forgiven. The Lord knows whether he knows your heart. He knows the altar. He knows you better than you know yourself. That's one of the things that really struck me when I saw the Lord, the way he was looking at me. I knew that he knew all my everything about me that was good and some of the my weaknesses, because I was just young in the Lord at the time. And I could see that he still really, really loved me, and that he understood me, and he was only trying to be kind to me and to warn me that I was doing something wrong, very wrong. I wasn't, and it was really wrong because I wasn't reading his word enough. I wasn't listening to him. I wasn't really paying, you know, I was taking lightly the word of God. I wasn't applying it to my life. I'd read it as though maybe I were reading over the word, so to speak, instead of letting it get into my heart, instead of letting it digest inside of me, instead of it molding me, letting it mold me and make me into the individual, the vessel that he wanted me to be. And so I just thought it was wonderful the way the Lord was looking at me, but he wasn't, his voice was broken. It was going back and forth like somebody turning a radio off and on, off and on. And I told Sue about it, and she didn't know what that meant, and I prayed, and I knew that it was that I was just hearing bits and pieces of his words, bits and pieces of sentences, and they weren't making much sense to me at all, any sense to me at all. It just figured that he wanted me to work real hard, wanted me to help Sue, to help build, to help provide a place for the people to stay, and to go to services and attend them and say praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, Jesus. And that wasn't it. That isn't what he wants you to do either. He wants you to be directly involved with the whole word of God. Man is not saved by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceeds from God. Amen?
Amen.
Each word is important. If one word was missing, the whole universe would explode and would disintegrate, because the universe is held together by the whole word of God. We have to God has to be complete, and we have to be complete as well, or we'll explode. We will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our whole spirit will not be able to be held together. If the universe to be held together needs the whole word of God, then how much more you and I? Our spirits, with the Spirit of God mingled in them, cannot stand without taking very seriously and receiving and digesting the whole, every word of God, the whole word of God. Every word is important. God doesn't say idle things. Every word has a meaning. Every word is a building block for our spirits, our souls, and is meant to prepare us for eternity. All right, let's go.
King James Version, verse 10. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, for his sin, which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him.
Now, all these priests are done away with, and now Jesus is the priest that we and all sinners have to go to for the forgiveness of sins. And then the Bible says that Jesus is our advocate. He's our attorney at the judgment bar of God. So we need Jesus to speak up for us to God. The devil will be there and say, but Lord, they did this and they did that. But the Lord will say, yes, but they came up before the throne and took care of business. They had it blotted out with the blood, my blood. And I want the Lord to be there to speak up for me when this is all over, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, let's go.
But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering.
Right, so the flour, the wheat, or the bread is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the lamb, the turtle doves, or the young pigeons, okay? And what?
Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord.
This shows that we don't have to be rich. We don't have to have money to go to the Lord and talk to him. Some of the poorest people, money-wise, are able to talk to the Lord. All poor people can talk to the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that wealthy people rarely talk to him, and some of them never do. So riches are dangerous to have. No matter how poor you are, you can speak to the Lord, and you can do whatever he tells you to do, because he doesn't tell you to do anything that he doesn't give you the power to be able to do. Then what?
It is a sin offering.
The Lord is our sin offering. Okay, then what?
And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering.
See, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows that when we're really afraid of transgressing God's law, we fear to not keep his word, and we find that there's something, there's an impediment in our spirit, we take it to him, and he knows if we're really sincere, if we fear the Lord, and we keep his commandments, or if we haven't, that we want it covered in his blood. And that's how we get forgiveness, because he's the high priest. We have to take these things to the Lord, and then if he forgives us, then leave them there. Don't let Satan bring them up against you any longer. Leave them there, and just don't do it any longer. Don't do it anymore. Okay, then what?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering.
Well, you could go to the Lord and say, Lord, you did something deliberate and said, I was ignorant of it, Lord. Then it's like double damnation on you, because you're lying to the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit, and not in lies, but in truth, in spirit and in truth. Okay, go ahead.
And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest.
See, everything must be given to the high priest Jesus, to take before with you, to go before the Father. Because he knows if you're lying, you did it ignorantly or you did it willingly. And not to be able to say, well, I was weak and I didn't know, the devil made me do it. No, you didn't stay in the spirit. There's no way that the devil can make anyone do anything. He can tempt you to do something. But the Lord states that if we're walking in him and we're talking to him and communicating with him, that there isn't any temptation that can come our way that we're not able to overcome. Amen?
Amen.
That he won't make a way of deliverance for us. And so if you're lying to the Lord, it's double damnation. If you did it ignorantly, you can present it to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, and say, Jesus, will you take me, you and I, before the Father and have it forgiven in your blood? And he'll do it. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But just don't do it anymore because you're not ignorant of it any longer. It's been brought to your attention. Okay, then what?
And the priest shall make an atonement for him.
And Jesus has already made the atonement for you in his blood. And then what? And because it was ignorance, and it's forgivable. Then what?
With the ram of the trespass offering.
With the blood he offered up himself. This is talking before Jesus did it, but now we're living in the era of time where Jesus has already come and gone. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And it shall be forgiven him. Translation, verse 10 through 16. The priest will offer the second bird as a whole burnt offering, following all the procedures that have been described.
Right. Jesus didn't sacrifice a leg or a foot or an arm. He sacrificed his whole body. He was a whole sacrifice. God in Jesus and the Spirit gave themselves in the human body of Jesus as a sacrifice for us. The whole triune God in the whole body of Jesus, the human. The God-man. Okay, then what?
In this way, the priest will make atonement for those who are guilty, and they will be forgiven. If any of the people cannot afford to bring...
That is, guilty of a sin of ignorance. They didn't realize they were doing it. This is not talking about deliberate sin. Sin that you're conscious of doing. This is a sin that you were unconscious that you did it. You were ignorant. You didn't realize that you were doing something. Okay, then what?
If any of the people cannot afford to bring young turtle doves or pigeons, they must bring 2 quarts of choice flour for their sin offering.
The poor folks can be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Since it is a sin offering, they must not mix it with olive oil or put any incense on it.
No adornments. Then what? Jesus wasn't adorned. He went to the cross cold turkey. Naked. Beaten. Wounded. Murdered. No sweet-smelling perfumes or oil, anointing oil. Nothing but gall and vinegar. Then what?
They must take the flour to the priest, who will scoop out a handful as a token portion. He will burn this flour on the altar, just like any other offering given to the Lord by fire. This will be their sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for those who are guilty, and they will be forgiven. The rest of the flour will belong to the priest, just as with the grain offering. Procedures for the guilt offering. Then the Lord said to Moses, "If any of the people sin by unintentionally defiling the Lord's sacred property, they must bring to the Lord a ram from the flock as their guilt offering. The animal must have no physical defects, and it must be of the proper value in silver, as measured by the standard sanctuary shekel."
It must foreshadow Jesus. It can't have any sinful impediments on it. Okay, then what?
They must then make restitution for whatever holy things they have defiled, by paying for the loss, plus an added penalty of 20%. When they give their payments to the priest, he will make atonement for them. If the ram sacrificed was a guilt offering, and they will be forgiven.
Well, we go to the Lord. The Lord is in our spirit. He's already in us, and the Comforter, the Triune God, is in us already. But when we go to Him as our High Priest to be forgiven, He goes with us to the Father. And if it was a sin of ignorance, we're forgiven. And that's a good promise. We don't have to pay for it with money. We can be as poor as what they call a church mouse and be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity.
So even though you did it ignorantly, you're still guilty, and you've got to rid yourself of that sin. You must go to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The High Priest, with an offering that is a sweet savor to the Lord, to confess your faults and ask the Lord to wash you in His blood, and not say it with your lips, but mean it from your heart, if you want communion with the Lord, and if you want to spend eternity with Him. Okay, then what?
And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering, unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred, and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. Translation, verse 17 and 18. If any of them sin by doing something forbidden by the Lord, even if it is done unintentionally, they will be held responsible for it. When they become aware of their guilt, they must bring to the priest a ram from the flock as a guilt offering. The animal must have no physical defects, and it must be the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for those who are guilty, and they will be forgiven. King James Version, verse 19. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord.
So it's still a trespass, it's still a sin, if you did it ignorantly. It has to be taken off your soul in order to have communion with the Lord, in order to be blessed by the Lord. And in this day and age, the Lord said, this is the worst time that has ever been before in all history. We need His blessings, because the whole world is cursed, and we don't dare allow ourselves to be cursed with the rest of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Translation, verse 19. This is a guilt offering, for they have been guilty of offense against the Lord.
Okay, that's the last verse in Leviticus chapter 5, and now we have some commentary.
Chapter 5, verse 14, and chapter 6, verse 7. The guilt offering was a special kind of sin offering. It was offered by a wrongdoer so they may receive forgiveness from God. That person must also make restitution for the pain or loss he had caused someone else. This offering called the wrongdoer accountable for his actions and paved the path toward his reconciliation with the wronged party. We, too, must consider the effects of our sins on others, even our offenses on others, which actually amount to sin. Complete recovery, complete maturity, demands that we seek reconciliation with one another, primarily with God, by asking for His forgiveness, then making amends with the people we have wronged.
And the way that we ask God forgiveness is we go to Jesus, the High Priest, and then He and we go to the living God and get forgiveness in that way. He came to me for forgiveness, Father, and I want your permission to wash him in my blood, to wash this sin away. Amen. And he shall be forgiven. Because he's honoring the blood of Jesus. He's honoring Jesus as the high priest. And he comes, the sinner goes to the Father with Jesus. And the Lord sees Jesus in him. And when he sees the blood of Jesus on his soul, and when he sees the blood, he shall pass over you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay.
Complete recovery, complete maturity, demands that we seek reconciliation with one another, primarily with God, by asking for his forgiveness, then making amends with the people we have wronged, whenever it is possible.
Well, praise the Lord, that was Leviticus chapter 5, and God willing we'll be doing, the Lord willing we'll be doing chapter 6 this evening. Until then, keep knowing these things. There's a difference between a sin unto death and a sin that is not unto death. And if we've done something that we know is wrong, and you think, well, it's not that bad, you have to reconcile yourself with the Lord. You have to go before him and get it forgiven, no matter how small you think it is. It's still sin. And it must be forgiven. It must be covered in the Lord's blood. Think about that all day. Meditate. In other words, think about the Lord all your waking hours. You say that's impossible. The Lord knows when you're striving. Just strive to do that. And God bless you. And until chapter 6, pray, keep praising the Lord and looking up. Amen. Praise the Lord.